May it please the Court, Chief Justice, members of the Court. In this case, the police and law enforcement...
Wait a second, Mr. Gold.
Sorry, Your Honor. May I proceed, Your Honor? Thank you. The police and law enforcement committed essentially a bait and switch upon the issuing magistrate, in this case a Superior Court judge, when they sought a warrant for medical files for the care and treatment of 8 specific children, and then in fact executed a warrant for all computer files and all pictures of children that might have been located on any disk or thumb drives at the location where the search took place.
Wait, you bait and switch? That's pretty strong language.
Yes, Your Honor.
I'm struggling with the notion of how a recordation by a physician of any interaction he had with a child who was taken to an appointment for treatment and thus was put in his care would not be a file relating to the treatment or care of a child. And given that the warrant recited at length probable cause, which you're not disputing, that there might be criminal activity, there might be a record of treatment of care that was recorded criminal activity, that person was unlikely to label boldly with the name of a specific child and share with all staff, but nonetheless would fall squarely within the reading of the warrant application, which was very plain in terms of what the magistrate, and so I'm just having a little trouble with the bait and switch. I'm not really getting it, what you're talking about.
Well, Your Honor, a medical file is a file prepared by a medical practice for the care and treatment of a patient.
Yes, and so if a physician, if someone leaves a child with a physician for a medical appointment and leaves them in the care of that physician, and for whatever reason that physician decides to create an actual film of the appointment, that is by all sensible linguistic standards, it doesn't even have to relate to. It is a recordation of the treatment and care given by that physician. If the physician did something improper, that doesn't mean that it's not a record of the treatment and care of the patient, does it?
Well, Your Honor, there is no basis in the probable cause in the warrant to believe that any child was filmed during the course of treatment in this doctor's office. So what we have here is a medical file in its common language, without the interpretations that have been added to it by the law enforcement and by the police as they were executing the warrant and then as they were testifying in court.
I want you, I want you to tell me how, if a child is with a physician and the physician, for whatever reason, chooses to film the appointment, how that record of the treatment and care of the child is not a medical file.
It would be a medical file, Your Honor.
Isn't that what was discovered?
What was discovered was not a recordation of a medical appointment. What was discovered was a crime.
Well, wait a minute.
Committed.
No. The child was there, right, for a medical appointment. What the physician did during the medical appointment doesn't make it not a medical appointment. If the physician did something wrong during the medical appointment, it doesn't mean that it wasn't still a record of that medical appointment and the treatment and care of the child, right? You're trying to say it's a safe harbor, that it doesn't become, if a physician does something that he shouldn't do during an appointment, it makes the record of that appointment not a medical record?
I'm saying, Your Honor, that the warrant didn't authorize the police to go into a building which was not described in the warrant. It didn't authorize them to take thumb drives which were not organized or stored with or in or like a medical file, that were not stored in a building that resembled a medical practice, that weren't plainly described in the warrant to be seized. The warrant
authorized the search and seizure of files to include medical files. So the fact that it doesn't have medical file on the jacket does not preclude the seizure of another file that has evidence of the treatment of a child, does it?
It does in this case. It does in this case because the cause that's associated with the achieving the warrant here is the allegations of inappropriate touching and other inappropriate behavior of the patient. And the relevance of a medical file that is not specifically stated in the warrant. But what we've said in our last argument and also has been argued by the state is that the relevance is obvious. The obvious relevance of receiving a medical file is that you would determine that this child was being treated for perhaps a sore throat and then touching occurred at the wrong location. And so that wouldn't, that, and it wasn't recorded in that file. So that would help move the ball forward for the state. But the problem that exists is that that's not stated to begin with. And second, that what has happened in the execution of the warrant is that the police have exercised their discretion to determine that a medical file is much greater than a chart which details the care and treatment of patients. They've decided when they're executing the warrant that the medical file is any picture or depiction of a child, wherever it may come from, whether it comes from a surveillance camera pointing outward from a building, from the medical building, or whether it's from any other location. That, members of the court, is not the common meaning of a medical file.
Well, if the fact that it's uncommon, the affidavit is replete with allegations that Dr. Bradley engaged in photography, including taking digital photographs of patients. Isn't what you're unusual about it is, and it probably shocked the police, was there were specific allegations of mistreatments of patients during appointments. There's concern about child pornography. When they actually get a filming of medical appointments during which there is criminal activity. And you seem to think that because your client created a digital image of things that he shouldn't have been doing while he was treating and caring for a child, that it is not a file relating to the treatment or care of the child. And that's plain. I don't understand how it's outside the easiest limits of the plain language of the warrant.
Perhaps it'd be helpful if, instead of telling us what you think, you give us some case law to support your position and explain why those cases have a bearing on the position you take today.
The primary case upon which we rely upon is I may have a moment, Your Honor. The primary case upon which I rely upon is the case of old vintage, and that is in Marin versus the United States, and also in Dorsey versus State of our own court. It is stated that the Delaware and the federal constitutions prohibit a general and exploratory search. In the 2008 warrant, which did specifically ask for child pornography, and was denied because it was said that there was not enough evidence to engage in a search for child pornography, it would have been okay to do a general and exploratory search. It would have been okay to search the entire premises. There would have been probable cause and a basis to enter into every building and look underneath every object for something to be hidden. In this particular case, and as the court found below, there was no evidence of a doctor hiding anything. This was a doctor that was engaged in treatment, and there were allegations of inappropriate touching, and the only statement was in the warrant is that perhaps, like some doctors, he keeps files in digital form. There was, in fact, no evidence in the four corners of the warrant that Dr. Brackley actually did keep medical files for the care and treatment of patients in a digital form. But that was Detective Garland's what he asserted. So what we have here is police arriving at the scene.
Well, he didn't make that up, did he? He had resources for that information?
I think that what he said, that in his experience, doctors, he's known doctors to keep medical files in digital form. So in the sense of not being made up, no. But in the sense of existing in this very, in this specific case, there is no basis to believe that. There is nothing in there. And once they arrived at the scene, they obtained the
I want to understand your argument, but I need to also understand how you ground that in fact of the affidavit of the officer, which talks specifically about installation of cameras, use by the doctor of those cameras, digital photographs, the notion that in the office in which he works, which is another issue in terms of the location of it, but that talks specifically about the office where he does his own work, that he manipulates those. And there's a specific statement by the affiant believing that evidence may be found on Dr. Bradley's computers and or digital recording equipment that will be able to corroborate statements made by witnesses in the search warrant, which are include the statements about the, what was going on that folks believe was not appropriate medical treatment during appointments. And then there's a broad request, as Justice Ridgely mentioned, for different types of files, which include, you know, computer files and all images, and you're all sexually explicit images, all kinds of other things, which are clearly related to that.
Well, that's not in the warrant. That's in the affidavit of probable cause. The warrant itself actually authorizes the seizure, the search for and seizure of medical files of 8 specific children, and also if whether it's in computer or paper form. The connection between...
plus also video and photographs of the below-listed location.
That would be filming the location, Your Honor. That's taking pictures, filming throughout the location. So, yes, but at issue, and what was the evidence that was seized and used to prove guilt, was the thumb drive in Building B, the checkerboard building. When the police arrived at the scene, there was 4 buildings. They were authorized specifically and clearly to search one, and that was the two-story building.
The scope of the search and the warrant's authorization of a broad scope or a narrow scope, depending on your reading, now to the argument about the location itself searched was beyond that authorized in the warrant?
That is the primary argument. The first argument we made, and it's the primary thrust of our argument, is that the search was beyond the scope of the warrant itself.
But now we've moved to the location issue.
Well, the warrant itself, Your Honor, only authorized specifically the two-story residential building, and then placed in the location where it states the owner or occupier of the residence. It mentions Bradley's name, and then mentions a white outbuilding. When the police arrived there, Your Honor, this is what they found was 4 buildings. And instead of waiting for a deputy attorney general who was on the way to determine whether a further warrant was necessary, they exercised discretion that the warrant didn't grant them and searched all 4 of the buildings.
Well, that's moot, isn't it? Because evidence from building C and D was not introduced below. Is that correct?
I would submit, Your Honor, that it's not moot because it shows the court
First of all, is that factually accurate that evidence from building C and D was not introduced before the trial judge?
That is correct. Okay. But I would submit that it's not moot because it tells the court that the search that the police officers were engaging in on this occasion was, in fact, the search that they had wanted to engage in the year before. The search that they engage in here, which was to seize every bit of digital equipment from that overall property, from all four of those buildings, except for the medical office building, was exactly the same search they were asking to do on the prior occasion and were denied at that time.
Unless I misread Justice Ridgely's point, to the extent any of those items seized were not introduced into evidence, what's the prejudice and what is the remedy? What do we do? Express righteous indignation, or do we have some rule of law to apply here?
Well, this was a search not in good faith, Your Honor, in a legal sense. I'm sure the police were acting in good faith and trying to protect the community, but in terms of executing the warrant they had in their hands, I would submit to the court that they were not.
But what's the significance to us of that?
Well, because it didn't end right there, Your Honor, because it didn't stop with the entry into the buildings. Because once they entered into Building B, the checkerboard building, and they noticed that there was no medical office there, there was, as Mr. Wallace said in the last argument, something that appeared to be a scene from Hoarders, which is simply toys. Hoarders. He used the phrase Hoarders previously. I guess it's a TV show, Your Honor.
I guess that's why I don't recognize the reference.
And it was full of things, and it was a mess. Didn't resemble medical practice. There was no indications of medical practice there, Your Honor.
Didn't that second building also have a desk and a computer?
It had a front room, Your Honor, where it had the things that I just described, and then in a second back room, it had a desk with a computer. And on that computer was the initial thumb drive. It was actually plugged in. It's not labeled in any way, and when he plugged it in, the officer, Detective Spillin, saw a date on a deleted file. That date on the deleted file was unrelated to anything in the four corners of the warrant or related to any of the eight patients.
Well,
at least there's nothing in the...
You don't disagree that there was authorization to enter Building B?
I do disagree, Your Honor, and...
I'm sorry, I thought the warrant referred to an outbuilding, which turned out to be Building B. So just stepping into that building and seeing what was there was not a violation of any geographical scope.
Well, Your Honor, yes, it was. It turned out to be Building B because that's where they went into. It didn't turn out to be Building B because there's anything in the warrant that differentiated between Building B, C, or D.
It turned out to be Building B, therefore no harm, no foul. They were there. Maybe they didn't know which building they were in, but they managed to get into the right building.
The harm is that the magistrate didn't, the issuing judge, did not make a determination as to which of those buildings. The police made that determination.
What you're saying is this could have all been cured if the magistrate and the police had just said the place to be searched is all premises. The premises would have just been the medical practice located at that address. And in that case, to the extent that any of the buildings were used for the medical practice, it could be searched. But what you're saying is because the outbuilding, because frankly it's very difficult from the road to even tell which building, how they connect, and I want to ask you a factual question about that in a second, is because it wasn't precise, you're arguing that judge below made it a clearly erroneous factual determination in finding that the officers who testified believe that Building B was the outbuilding referenced in the warrant, that that's just the judge's was clearly erroneous in that, and on that grounds they searched Building B without any authority in the warrant, right?
That's correct, and that is because...
And isn't Building B, isn't the desk and computer that was used, isn't the record that the desk and computer that was used in Building B was used by Dr. Bradley?
He was the only person that had access to that building.
That was his office on the premises.
I would disagree with you, Your Honor, that that was part of the medical practice or
medical
office.
You would
office.
Say, what would you call it then, when the place where the doctor works at his office, what would you call that place? It's not his office.
Well, it's inaccessible to the other staff that was located there. And It is not appear to be a medical office.
But again, this is where, within the application of the warrant and medical files, they clearly, when they talk about searching for medical files relating to the treatment and care,
mm-hmm.
the application to the magistrate who issues the warrant is, this doctor takes films of all kinds of things that go on in the practice. He works with them on his own computer at the office, and he manipulates them. There's all these buildings are used in the practice. There's a specific reference to an outbuilding. There's testimony before the judge below that the officers believed that was the outbuilding. This is why they believe that. The judge accepted that. They went into the outbuilding where the doctor's own office was, and they found files of photographic evidence of the treatment of patients. And what I'm getting is how is it factually, I mean, is it clearly erroneous? Is that what you're saying? What is the clear evidence that the judge erred in accepting the testimony of the officers that Building B was the outbuilding that was referenced in the warrant?
It's clearly erroneous because there's no evidence in the four corners of the warrant that differentiates between the three buildings. Because a reason, Your Honor,
that gives rise to another
question out of time,
that's related to that. And if you haven't had a chance to answer the Chancellor's questions, get back to it in part answering mine. The application and affidavit and the warrant refers to the two-story residence-style building and the place. And it says the aforesaid house, place, conveyance, person, or persons. How do we interpret the word place if not to include the two-story house and the rest of the place, meaning everything around it, associated with it, physically annexed or not? The old Southern reference to the home place mm-hmm. doesn't mean just the residence. It means the barn, the carriage house, and so on. How do we interpret the word place?
I think in this particular case, because the affidavit of probable cause and because the warrant seeks medical files, not contraband, not something that's likely or any evidence that it would be hidden, that you would define place by first the actual language of the warrant, which states the two-story residential building, and then the fact that it's mentioned at another location that to include a white outbuilding, that seems to be an indication of a limitation by the issuing magistrate to those particular things.
To include, you take and interpret as a limitation?
I do, Your Honor. And that's because it would be unnecessary language otherwise. If the interpretation that Your Honor, that a place, that a warrant is always for the entire premises, is the rule, then there would be no need to describe
it.
No,
it may not always be the rule. It may not be a bright line rule at all. But under the circumstances, when those executing the warrant arrive and they find, contrary to what they may have seen, as the Chancellor referred to, from the road, that there are at least arguably associated buildings at the same place, why is it unreasonable for them to execute the warrant in relation to the entire place?
Because they don't have any reason to go into two of the other buildings. If the warrant authorizes that, and also because we're not talking about, like I said, contraband. What we're talking about are business records, our medical records. These are not hidden things. They're things that would be organized in a way that the medical practice could access it when and if it needed. If we're looking for child pornography, which is what we submit they were actually doing under this warrant, then it would be okay to look everywhere for everything because those are hidden things. It's an argument we made in our brief.
There's information, Mr. Goff, in the warrant affidavit that your client was seen taking a child into this building.
Therefore,
as a patient.
With respect, Your Honor, that isn't exactly what the record said or the warrant says. What it says is that Dr. Bradley, on one occasion, is seen by a parent carrying a child toward a white building or a building behind the two-story building. And that building that's closest and that's behind that is not Building B. That is the small shop where nothing was actually found, although it was searched as well.
We've talked you down to 25 seconds for rebuttal.
That's correct.
Did you want to save that?
I wanted to save it a while ago, Your Honor, but I didn't want to interrupt the court or prevent myself.
I appreciate that. Our questions took you right out of your argument there for a period of time, but I wanted to let you know.
I have 26 seconds.
So you don't stand up later expecting rebuttal, and you've used it up. So take your 26 seconds now, or
well,
I don't imagine.
I don't imagine that the 26 seconds in the future are going to make much difference. So I'll just make my final point right now.
Right.
We'll submit to the, Your Honors, that the other problem is that the person who searched the disc, who finally had it in his hands and looked at it the next day, was not in a position to have determined whether one of those children that was permitted to be searched for was on it, because he didn't even know the names of those children. And that makes him incapable of tailing his search.
When you say disc, you mean flash drive?
Flash drive, yes, Your Honor.
Thank you, Mr. Rowe.
Thank you, Your Honor.
May it please the Court, Mr. Chief Justice, Justices, Chancellor, good afternoon. Paul Wallace on behalf of the State, the appellee in this matter. A search warrant has to demonstrate two things. One, that there's a fair probability that an offense occurred. And secondly, that there's a fair probability that evidence relevant to that offense or those offenses will be found in a certain place. I think it's important to note, as the Chancellor did earlier, what's not argued here. There's never been an argument that there was an establishment of probable cause that offenses occurred. What they take issue with is the warrant allowing the police to search the scene of the crime, because the scene of the crime is a medical practice. The issue that the Chief Justice brought up about whether or not all buildings there on that premises really should be within the scope was argued by the state below. The Superior Court did not accept that argument, although we believe that when you're talking about a business premises here, all of the facts and circumstances of a medical practice, this place had no other meaning, no other business. It wasn't a residence of Dr. Bradley, as you might have in other medical practices, especially years gone by when people had their medical office in a residence. It was all, as far as anyone knew, his medical practice. And in fact,
To try to narrow some of the geographic scope issues, let's take the one that was asked by the Chancellor. We know that the warrant authorized a search of an outbuilding.
Yes.
The issue was which building was the outbuilding.
Yes.
We now know that the outbuilding was Building B. We know that the police concluded that the outbuilding was Building B, and therefore entered Building B and ended up finding the flash drive. The question is, was there an issue that was litigated below regarding the reasonableness of the police conclusion that the outbuilding was Building B?
There was a factual issue raised. This description of it as the checkerboard building starts at that table, ends at that table. They're the only ones who have ever called it that.
It was litigated.
Yes.
And the court found as fact.
Found as fact.
That the police reasonably concluded that the outbuilding was Building B.
I think more than that. Found as a fact that the outbuilding mentioned in the warrant was Building B, what came to be labeled during the trial, Building D. That was the white outbuilding mentioned. As I said, checkerboard came from here, always came from here. They just say, look, you should have described it that way, because then everybody would have known exactly what it was.
Well, the reason I framed the question that way is that it's implied by the other side that the police basically made a wild guess in bad faith and happened to luck out.
No, not at all. Detective Elliott specifically told the court, I only knew of the existence of a separate building being that building, Building B. That's what I described as a white outbuilding. They might better describe it as a checkerboard building if that's what they want to call it, because it has some black markings on it. I called it the white outbuilding. That's what I put in my warrant. That's what I was going to look into.
Is there a vision of the building? As I understand it, there's checkerboard on one side and the remaining sides are white. Is there a view from the road of the white sides of the building?
I believe if the court looks to the appendix or the briefing.
Yeah, I'm looking at the, you know, and what I understood is there's one view from the road, I forget which road it is, where, you know, you sort of see the checkerboard. And there's some suggestion in the record that you could have seen the checkerboard building as actually part of the, you know, the primary building where patients were treated. And there's some suggested that, in fact, the police mistook that the checkerboard building is actually part of that building, and they were describing another separate building, and that there's some sort of error because of that.
I think, Your Honor, actually what the record shows is right behind that two-story residential building is Building C. It's a garage. It's a white garage, same type of siding and everything as the main office building. Everybody believed, the police believed, that those were all connected. That was one building. A and C were together. That was the garage that went with it. It was connected. They knew B to be separate. They described that as a white building because if you look, half of it where the door is over is white. Actually, all three sides of it are white. And there is the white checkerboard, white and black checkerboard section.
Did the doors refer to the medical practice itself? The two double glass doors?
No, sir. That actually goes into what is kind of a big open room where there were many, many things stored.
No, but they don't say babies or anything like that?
They don't say anything, no. There's one sign in the very front of the building that says babies. It was a road sign. And then there were all the buildings associated with the business. Now, as the police understood it, that patient's the patient's father who said he saw Dr. Bradley taking a child toward that building was describing that building. That's what Detective Elliott was describing. That's why they believed, well, treatment or something must go on in that building related to children. Perhaps there are records there.
So that was additional evidence that linked the outbuilding referred to in the warrant to, or the warrant application to Building B.
Yes, that's what they always understood. As I said, nobody even knew C existed. Nobody in law enforcement even knew C existed as they're drafting the warrant and as they're doing this. Now, as it turns out, they get there that day. There's Building B, there's Building A, and then they realize there's a garage, C, also. They had the natural reaction that the Chief Justice did. It's all part of the one business. This is all known to be the business. We don't know where he keeps his records. Once you got into that place, you didn't know where anybody would keep anything. But what they did know when they got there was they were referred at least by one person when they were asked where the doctor's office was, workspace, workstation, whatever you want to call it, the place that everybody knows a doctor has where he actually sits down or she sits down and does their computer work or writing and things like that, was in Building B, and that's where they went to. And at his computer, there's the monitor on the top, there's the tower down below, and plugged in is a flash drive. Now, you're looking for the records that he keeps of treatment of children. Certainly, common sense tells them, and that's the first thing they search, the most recent thing, that he may have been working on patients' records. And he does that. They take issue as to whether or not, and Justice Ridge, you were absolutely correct, when it says computer files in regards, says to include paper files as well as computer files in regards to childs 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8, why was there reason to believe that there would be computer files, and more importantly, imaging-type files? Recited in there was that he had a habit of taking pictures of the children there for whatever purposes he did.
And there was a reason to believe that whatever the pictures might be on the computer or on the flash drive, and that those pictures were related to medical treatment because there was testimony or information from one of the father of one of the children that they saw the doctor carrying a child to that building.
Yes, in part that. But when they get there, what they notice is the very first treatment room they go into, it was called the Pinocchio room, they all had some type of theme to them, is a handheld video camera on the examination table. Further down the hallway, sitting on a stack of files, medical files, the regular manila files, is a digital SLR camera sitting on top. Throughout it, there were descriptions of video cameras, handheld cameras.
Can these discoveries expand the scope of the warrant? I mean, why is that relevant?
I don't know that it expands because what they say is the execution, what they began to look for, what they were looking at, and their reasonable belief that, in fact, once they gathered these materials, they should look at, for instance, a deleted, what appeared to be a deleted video film, was, well, all computer files relating to the children in the treatment here may include filming and or photographing of that treatment, because right there in the treatment area are handheld video cameras and digital cameras. They say it's unreasonable for the police to believe that that would have anything to do with the treatment of the children. Those implements are right there in the treatment rooms for the children. Why would they not then say, okay, here's how this guy does his business. He has paper files. Looks like he must take pictures and or imaging of his patients.
Suppose there were no flash drive, just the computer. Would there have been, would it have been authorized for them to turn on the computer and start doing the search?
Absolutely. I believe that it makes it clear throughout that there's, first of all, it's 2009. Common sense tells us that people are doing their business on computers. He's got computers all over the place.
Okay.
There's reason to believe patient records are going to be there.
If they proceeded in that way, that would have been all right.
Yes.
And I gather your position is that there's no functional difference, at least for our purposes, between a hard drive on that computer and a flash drive.
Absolutely not. In fact, I think if we're using common sense, how do people do their work every day? Flash drives are used for the purposes of temporarily taking notes, plugging it in, putting it into your document, things like that. All the more reason.
Well, so that part of the reason why the affidavit at such length went through things such as a witness's testimony of that she was told about the installation of surveillance cameras by Dr. Bradley itself, that people were aware that he used them, that he photographed things, that he had access to them at home and in his home office, that he manipulated them, and then all that stuff concluding with evidence, we think evidence of the things, the crimes we suspect are likely to be found on computers and or digital recording equipment, is because what you expected is that if you found evidence of crime, it might be not written down after prescribed antibiotics for an infection.
Yes. And the reason that you might find, for instance, looking at the deleted part of the video file is once you've seen how this guy appears to be doing business because he has a handheld camera in his examination room is, if he is keeping files, the medical files that are okay for people to see, sometimes the making of that file, that, quote, doctoring of that file, if that's a bad pun, I apologize, for the purposes of trying to make it appear that anything he did was okay, the deletions are more important than anything else. You got to get the story right. You got to get a couple drafts. You got to cut out the stuff that's bad so that your files look okay if anybody questions you. And this was a doctor, everybody knew, who had been examined, had been under scrutiny for these types of things before. So certainly as they are looking to say, we need to look the medical records. I'm glad at least that the defense finally says, it's obvious why you would want medical records of these patients. At least I believe that's what Mr. Goff finally said when he was up here. It is obvious. That's where the crime occurred. That's the relationship that they had. If they had not gone for medical records, the medical records of these doctors, imagine the cross-examination of Detective Elliott. You get word from children who are 3 or 4 years old that a doctor may have touched them in a bad way. You didn't even get his medical records to see what the child was there for and whether there's some misinterpretation. Certainly the Superior Court understood that. But then understanding what it is you are looking for in those records, that may be in those records and how they're kept, is set forth in the affidavit of probable cause. It was found by the Superior Court to be reasonable, not overreaching, not so great in scope as to become unreasonable. And the state suggests, given all the facts and circumstances, this was a appropriate warrant, properly executed, and unfortunately for Dr. Bradley, now Mr. Bradley, put him out of medical business. Fortunately for everyone else, it did so, because what was found was horrific.
With regard to the challenges to the search of buildings C and D, it is accurate that none of the evidence from those buildings was introduced before Judge Carpenter.
That's true. Yes, Your Honor. We did litigate whether or not they would be admissible. In fact, the judge found they would be admissible under the inevitable discovery doctrine, but we did not put in anything. There was nothing in Building C. No computerized anything. Building D had many, many things, had hard drives, had soft drives, had a computer itself. Nothing from Building D was used. Every bit of evidence came from Building B, were Building A. The two that were mentioned in the search warrant, the two that were searched to determine what the relationship was in the treatment of these children and what was going on, and the one that actually, when Detective Spillin first saw evidence of the horrific nature of these crimes, he stopped and got another search warrant to look through all of that digital evidence for more than just that right. relationship type evidence. That
and the second search warrant was applied for after the investigating police officer saw one improper or damaging image under the flash drive.
Yes. Correct?
And so until that search warrant was obtained, the search stopped.
Yes.
How much time elapsed between the initial search of the flash drive and obtaining the second warrant?
It was the same day, Your Honor. I can't tell you hours, but it was the same day. Detective Spillin, but you have to start somewhere. So he took the flash drive that was in the office computer for Dr. Bradley, took a look at it, saw what he saw, realized this was something much greater than he had anticipated seeing. Much more horrific than what he anticipated finding, immediately shut it down, immediately went and got a search warrant, drafted a new search warrant.
You would say on that, to the extent that there's allegation that this was not in good faith, it's evidence that folks weren't just rummaging, and that when the officers found something that they were concerned went beyond the scope of the warrant, because frankly it was shocking to them that there was actual recordation of criminal behavior against a patient, is that they immediately sought to clarify that they had the legal authority to continue what they were doing.
Your Honor, we would suggest it's clear evidence of good faith. They were looking, the problem with computers, the problems with any files, even if they were paper files, as the court had said earlier, you don't put on the outside, here's the evidence of my crime, here's me sexually abusing a child. You have to look in it first, just as if it were a paper file and you had a financial crimes document. You don't put on there, here's where I hid all the money. You look in it, you see whether it's relevant, you close it up and move on.
Can you explain to me why the concept of good faith is relevant or applies here?
I don't believe it does apply, Your Honor. I think to the extent that they're making some claim that the actual execution of the warrant exceeded the scope and that good faith plays into it, evidence that there was no conscious attempt to exceed that scope, I think is helpful to the court, at least to some extent, to say, no, there was no overreaching, there was no excessive going outside the scope. I don't know that it has to be good faith, but evidence was clear. It's clear to Judge Carpenter that they were doing precisely that, which they were permitted to do.
The only thing I'm trying to get straight in my mind is we don't have a good faith exception to the right. exclusionary rule. And it's all about whether the warrant authorizes this search and the scope of this search. It's not about whether the officers acted in bad faith or good faith.
Correct, Your Honor.
Okay. Just want to make sure I was clear on that. Anything further?
No, Your Honor. If there are any further questions from the court.
I want to ask your indulgence as an officer of the court. We used up so much of Mr. Goff's time with our questions.
I'm not giving them all 749, Your Honor.
I would be prepared to give him 3 minutes of rebuttal if you don't disagree.
No, not at all, Your Honor.
You're generous enough to leave 7 minutes and 49 seconds of your own argument.
I'm not generous enough to give him the other 449.
Well, and I won't be arrogant.
But that's your call.
Take it anyway.
Thank you.
But we will give Mr. Goff 3 minutes if he wants rebuttal.
Thank you, Your Honor. Thank you for
you should also thank Mr. Wallace.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Wallace. I appreciate that. I'm going to end with what I ended with last time, and Your Honor wasn't here. And essentially, it is that it isn't a question of good faith or bad faith. It's a question of whether or not, at the final point where the evidence was discovered with Detective Spillin, whether that particular police officer was even capable of performing the search that he was authorized to perform for 8 specific patients. He was not able to differentiate or segregate any of the evidence, any of these files, and determine which was relevant to the warrant and which was not relevant to the warrant. Because he couldn't say which one of these patients, he didn't know their names. He testified to the same.
So it was a safe harbor? It's a safe harbor for a physician to take photographs of patients, store them in ways that are encoded except as to him, and thus the evidence can never be discoverable?
This is a search, no. This is a search based upon specific facts for specific things that was supposed to be tailored to the authorization of the warrant, and it didn't turn out that way. It was a general search. They did look through everything. They started at an arbitrary point and began to look. They said they were looking for a few things, and they looked at and looked for, looked through everything.
Well, was there a way, would they have been able to look at a shelf and it would have said video library and gone in alphabetical order listing patients' names so that they could have pulled the specific ones off the shelf?
They did look at a shelf.
No. Could they have done that? Which was, did your client archive the video records in a clearly identified way so that to find the video file, you could just pick them off the shelf in alphabetical order? And if not, how were the folks supposed to execute the warrant without looking through the unarchived, unlabeled stuff in order to find what they were authorized to find?
Dr. Bradley did archive his files in an organized fashion.
All of them?
All of his medical files.
Wait a minute. Again, we're back to, I don't want to get back. Let's assume for my purpose of my question that I'm the kind of guy who might view a film of my child's medical appointment as a record of that appointment and as a medical file. If you actually believe that is a medical file, would there be a film library that the police could have then selectively picked those eight at that was clearly labeled, or would they have to go through all the video records that were unlabeled in order to find what they were legitimately authorized to find under the warrant?
If you were looking as a police officer for a medical file of a medical appointment that was kept for the care and treatment of a patient, then it would be organized with and similar to the medical files and charts of that patient. And there would be clues that they existed in those charts. So you wouldn't need to look into a room which bore no resemblance to medical practice, and you wouldn't have to look at thumb drives which were unlabeled, that were not organized, that a member of the practice, including Bradley himself, could not have accessed effectively to determine if this patient was portrayed on this disc or this patient was portrayed on another disc. The only way you could be authorized to search all of those discs is if you were looking for something that's contraband, something that's likely to be hidden, something that's illegal. And that is not what
a search warrant is looking for evidence of the crimes that there's probable cause to believe have been committed.
It is looking for evidence of crimes. But evidence of crimes can be a file, which is kept in the regular course of business, which this warrant purported to be. That's where the bait and switch comes from. That's where the argument for the bait and switch comes from. It comes from the fact that when the police went to the judge to seek the warrant, they seem to be seeking just basic medical files, whether they're computer or paper form. But when they got to the scene, they took everything. They did not take the computer located in an actual two-story residential building. They posited a number of reasons why this would be relevant, why pictures of patients would be relevant, to show that they were present, okay? To show that they had an appointment to be there. But Detective Garland testified in the hearing that he left the computer that was located in the two-story building there so that the staff could access the record of patients there, their appointments and when they were occurring. If they were actually seeking evidence of when those patients were there by looking through those thumb drives, then they would have taken that. Instead, yes,
Mr. Goff, we're going to have to bring it to a close. You're somewhere between the 3 minutes and the 7 minutes, so thank you both counsel for the argument. We'll take the case under advisement and recess.